Amen. Well, what I want to talk to you about is no surprise. It's Jesus. As we have said to the children at the children's talk, Jesus healing a woman bent over double for 18 years. So the talk I want to give you has three headings. First of all, reputations and reality. Reputations and reality. The kingdom of God and where we fit in. Have you ever put your reputation on the line for someone else? How did it go? No one teaches in a synagogue unless he's invited to do so by the local ruler of the synagogue, the rabbi. And Matthew 23 tells us Jesus calls this person rabbi, so we're going to call him the rabbi from now on. No rabbi would allow someone to teach if he seriously believed that the person would teach in a way that was contrary to the rabbi's religious beliefs. The synagogue was a place where Torah was taught, and its relevance and its connection to daily life was examined. And so by inviting Jesus to teach, this rabbi was recognizing, first of all, Jesus' insight into God's ways, and secondly, he was putting his own reputation on the line. So the local rabbi had no problem with the words that Jesus was speaking. He became indignant, or one translation says he became furious, when Jesus stopped talking and began to demonstrate God's way. Jesus initiates liberation. As Jesus is teaching in this synagogue on the Sabbath, this woman catches his attention. For 18 years, she's suffered from a crippling disease and she's bent over double. And when Jesus sees the woman, he calls her to come where he is. He calls her forward. He calls her up front, in front of everyone. And Jesus' words to her clearly show his basic message about the kingdom of God. God works to liberate people from whatever oppresses them. And if you remember back in Luke chapter 4, you'll remember this. Luke describes for us how Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he returns from the wilderness to Nazareth, full of the power of the Holy Spirit. And Luke tells us in chapter 4, on that Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he was handed the scroll, and he read from the prophet Isaiah. And we would now say Isaiah chapter 61. And these are the words that Jesus read. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. This woman has been a prisoner for 18 years. A prisoner. Bent over double. To recover the sight of the blind, to release the oppressed. She's an oppressed person. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he did that just after he came back from being in the wilderness for 40 days. So in our reading this morning, in front of everyone, Jesus again in a synagogue on the Sabbath, he calls to her and he says, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." And then he puts his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up, standing straight and tall, and doing what? Giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. And the rabbi objects. He's indignant. He's furious. And the crux of the story is with the rabbi's indignation, because it gives Jesus the opportunity to reinforce his teaching on the kingdom of God. The rabbi's offended. Jesus has just contradicted the rabbi's teaching about Sabbath behavior and Sabbath activity. And Jesus has also put the rabbi's reputation in danger. So the rabbi blurts out to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The rabbi argues, "Look, she's been sick for 18 years. What difference does it make if she stays sick for a while longer?" The issue for the rabbi centers around the work of healing, because it was considered work on the Sabbath day. And he said he's entirely missed the point of what Jesus has just said and done with the woman. Missed it completely. Jesus proclaims liberation. And in that synagogue on that day, there must have been more people than just the rabbi that were yelling back at Jesus. Because Jesus' response is in the plural. Do you notice that? He says, "You hypocrites," plural. "Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath day untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham," see what he's doing? She's a bent over double crippled woman. And Jesus is elevating her position, raising her up, elevating her and saying to everybody who was listening, don't miss the point, folks. She's a daughter of Abraham, just like you. Just like you. Why should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath from what bound her? And I love this contemporary translation. "Each Sabbath, every one of you regularly unties your cow or donkey from its stall, leads it out for water, and thinks nothing of it. So why isn't it all right for me to untie this daughter of Abraham and lead her from the stall where Satan has had her tied these 18 years?" The cruel irony of allowing animals more compassion on the Sabbath than people. And then Jesus moves back to the real issue. The issue is not work of healing on the Sabbath. The issue is, will a woman who is oppressed be set free? And we read it in Luke 4 and in Isaiah 61. Jesus says, "I have come to release the oppressed." It's more important for this woman to be set free than it is for religious traditions to be followed. The kingdom of God, it's all about liberation. It's all about setting people free from bondage. And in our scripture passage today, we end with "the crowd rejoices." Luke says the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Every one of us here in church this morning, everyone, at some time or another, is that man or that woman who is bent over double and who comes desperate and in need, comes into the presence of Jesus. Every one of us. Well, as Christians, we're often faced with problems of priorities, and we hardly have enough time to do the good things we'd like to do. And I'm going to give you an idea. It's not a new one, not a new one at all. But it's an idea that might help us, and it is to do what Jesus did, to do what Jesus did, to act on the opportunity when it presents itself and deal with the present need. If you're like me, there have been many times in your life when you look back and you say, I missed it. I should have acted. There was a perfect opportunity there, and I missed it. I should have moved on that. And that's what we're being encouraged to do. Act on the opportunity, exactly what Jesus did, when it presents itself. Deal with the present need. And Jesus healing the woman is an illustration of the principle that there's never a wrong time to do the right thing, and there's never a right time to do the wrong thing. So act on the opportunity when it presents itself. Do what Jesus did. Contemporary illustration. I want to tell you about Kathy and Sarah. I take church services each month at a variety of different care homes. And Kathy attends one of the services. She's about 80 years of age. She lives in one of the care homes. And her niece, Sarah's about 50, 55 years of age. They both attend the service at one of the care homes. Not their real names, but that's okay. After a recent service, Sarah, it was a couple of weeks ago, Sarah, as she was leaving, held up her wrist and she said, "Look." And she showed me her wristband, and it was like a watch strap. It was beautifully done, like a watch strap, kind of a smoky blue-gray, and the letters WWJD, what would Jesus do, were right there. Big, bold letters, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And I said to her, "Sarah, that's lovely. I very much admire that." And she smiled at me, and she said, I ordered six. They sent me 60. And you know what she's doing? She's giving them away to her family and her friends, and they're all wearing what would Jesus do, WWJD, initials on their wrists. She's furthering the kingdom of God right here in the Lower Mainland. You know, it used to be that those WWJD string bracelets were all the rage with teenagers years back, formerly. And now God's using these bracelets to his glory, with 80-year-olds and 50-year-olds. The kingdom of God breaking through. Well, Jesus' ministry is full of messages of liberation. He comes to free you, and he comes to free me from all the various forms of bondage that diminish us. We get into places and situations and where we are squeezed, and we tend to be feeling diminished, and he comes to free us from that kind of thing. The salvation that Jesus brings is more than healing. It's more than just coping with life's difficulties. It's more than the strength that we get from that. Salvation liberates us and creates in us, each one of us, a new person. The kingdom of God breaking through. I'm going to give you three very lightning fast illustrations from our Bible of the kingdom of God breaking through. Here we go. Number one, Luke chapter 10. Who is my neighbor? A lawyer asks Jesus, what must I do to get eternal life? And Jesus responds, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And the lawyer, wanting to defend himself, says, define neighbor. And Jesus tells him the parable of the Good Samaritan. Samaritans were not considered good in Jewish eyes. What's happening here? The kingdom of God is happening. Second one, Luke chapter 11, the Lord's Prayer. The disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus answered, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Hallowed. God's name is an extension of his power, of his personhood, of his personality. God is set apart, God's holiness. And we're a community of faith. And we hallow God. And the witness of the church community is it determines how the world sees that God is set apart in our lives. That kingdom come, both God's future kingdom and his present reign on earth, God's kingdom as ruler of all, both present and future. So whenever God's sovereignty and God's reign and God's rule over life is acknowledged and recognized, his kingdom is there. His kingdom is present. And you and I, as God's people, strive to make, and especially, you know, in this Lower Mainland that we live in, we're dumped in anti-God sentiment, and you and I just strive to make that recognition that it is God's kingdom. And we want to make that an ever-increasing reality in our world. How do we do that? Just in the everyday things that we do. Just in the things that we do in our daily life. And what's happening here? The kingdom of God is happening here. And then finally, in Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus in Jericho, the despised tax collector working for those hated Roman conquerors. And Jesus seeks Zacchaeus out up that sycamore tree, it's a fig tree, and Jesus goes to his home, and he's willing to be isolated and hated himself in order to break into Zacchaeus' lonely, miserable life. And what happens? Zacchaeus publicly repents. That must have been very, very difficult, out in front of everyone in public. And then he opens his purse to the poor, and he says, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Wow. Wow. Of all the houses in Jericho, with its sizable population, including all the priests who lived there, Jesus says, "Today, salvation has come to the house of Zacchaeus." What's happening here? The kingdom of God is happening here. Jesus promised his followers these things: suffering, a cross, and rejection by the world. And he preached the kingdom of God. And his invitation was simple: follow me. Follow me. And the kingdom of God is still coming the same way Jesus started it, one soul at a time. And I just want to close with this. Gert Bahana. I don't know if anybody remembers the name Gert Bahana, the late Liz, she called herself. And she was an Episcopalian, an Anglican in the States, went around giving Christian talks all over the place. She grew up in New York City, very wealthy. Her mother died when she was little, and she was raised by her father, and they had a lot of money. They lived in the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City. She said, "I had never seen a Bible. I'd never held a Bible. Oh, I'd seen the great Gutenberg Bible under glass in Europe, but I'd never touched a Bible." And in her adult life, she was introduced to Jesus by a man and his wife, and she came to the Lord. She came to the Lord. And then she was back with her New York society and her wealthy friends and cocktail parties. It was all part of the high society life she was in. But she was talking about Jesus all the time. All the time. And she said, "My friends looked at me and they said, 'My God, what's happened to you?' And she said, I smiled at them and said, 'My God has happened to me.'" Beautiful, just beautiful. "My God has happened to me." What's happening here? The kingdom of God is happening here. You and I were never promised fame or fortune, but like Gert Bahana, Jesus offers to spark a revolution, in each one of us, in our lives. He calls us away from occupations and ideas that build our own little kingdoms, and he calls us to build the kingdom of God. That is our reward. Are the people around us really worth the effort? Jesus thought so, all the way to the cross. Amen.